The next panel is best practices and data quality.
Get started now, make the best use of everyone's time. Hi, I'm Linda Green. This is the panel on best practices in data quality. I'm delighted to be here this afternoon with a panel of talented and dedicated APCD experts. I want to just reflect on something that Denise mentioned this morning, that 7 years ago was the first APCD data conference up in Massachusetts, really off the beaten path in a part of Massachusetts. And, you know, at that time I was thinking, as I look back, we were thinking about how are we going to get the data? And here we are 7 years later where we're ready to talk about data quality. It's really tremendously exciting. So for those of you who have joined the party a little more recently, join with us and experience the pleasure of thinking about we're at a different point now. As we talk about data quality this afternoon, I also want you to keep in mind that there are many definitions of data quality. We hear about the data coming in, and we hear about the data once it's aggregated, and we hear about how the data are used once we're ready to share them. Our conversations today will each take a different perspective on data use, data quality, and how that process happens. I also want you to listen for the fact that these processes are iterative, that they're not once and done, but they need to keep going, and that data quality also needs to be tuned to the particular use that the data has had envisioned for it. So with those sort of themes and concepts, I'm going to turn it over to this wonderful panel, Kevin Edwards from Minnesota Department of Health, Mary Fields from the New Hampshire Department of Health and Human Services, and Kyle Russell from the Virginia Health Information Institute. Did I get that right? Virginia Health Information. So each one is going to give us a short presentation, and then we'll have plenty of time for questions afterwards. So with that, I'll ask Kevin to get started.
Yeah, go ahead. Or do I do it? There we go. Okay. We have like 8 remotes for a TV at home, but this one's going to confuse me, I think. Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Kevin Edwards. I'm the Director of Health Services Research in the Health Economics Program with the Minnesota Department of Health. It is my team that is responsible for the development and collection of our all-payer claims database, as well as working through analytical challenges with using the data and doing the reporting efforts and the work that we've been doing over the past 5 years with our data experience in Minnesota. I'm going to try to achieve a couple of things today. First, I want to provide some shaping of the question. The topic that I'm talking about today is provider identification challenges with the all-payer claims database, the issue of data quality versus data functionality is high on my list when I think about this particular topic, and so I'll kind of phrase the question and put it into a context term for you. Also want to talk about what are the provider challenges, the provider identification challenges with an all-payer claims database. Provide some information as to how we deal with those particular challenges in Minnesota and the work that we've developed along with our vendor, OnPoint Data of Health Data of Maine, to work through some of these efforts. And also look at how that effort leads to enhanced data quality within the data, making the data more robust and more useful. So I struggled with this topic a little bit when I was thinking about how to prepare my remarks for today. The issue of data, of provider identification in an all-payer claims data, isn't necessarily a question about data quality. It's a question about data functionality. Because the focus is not on issues of whether or not the submitted data is accurate. It's not about whether or not the data is complete or representative. It's about what you can do with the data if you have poor identification of providers in your data set. You can have perfectly robust, perfectly legitimate provider identification as the data is being submitted to you from your payers and being reported in from the providers. But is it functionally enabled? Is what you're going to do with the data possible, given the level of provider identification that you're looking at? And if not, I can tell you it won't be, what exactly do you have to do to improve the data so that you can get to higher uses of the data? So as Linda was just suggesting, one of the big questions about provider identification is what is your intended use of the data? There is research that you can do with an all-payer claims database where you don't have to worry anything about provider identification. It's really a moot point for you if you're doing low-stakes type reporting. Epidemiological studies, for example, or looking at small area variation studies where you're not relying upon strong, robust provider identification to do the work. If, on the other hand, you are actually going to be engaging in a process where you're looking at provider-based reporting. It just makes sense that you have to have very well-developed provider identification. So your use case really drives the amount of effort you have to put into worrying about provider identification as a functional challenge to your data. The issues with provider identification are many. Data from multiple payer sources is often misaligned. The same provider is recognized using a different set of data inputs in one healthcare system or one payer system, and differently in another payer system. The data from various submitters can come in with various levels of completeness, various levels of depth, and this creates problems when you're looking at identifying who the providers are. Conflicting data exists due to misentries or typos or delivery complexity. You often see providers at the exact same location who will be in your data set with as many as 10, 15, 20, 30 different unique identifiers for one physician at one practice location. And that's just because of the varying degrees of differences that come in on the claims that are attributed to one particular practicing individual. And all of this, we all think that the NPI was the panacea for all of this. And unfortunately, based on some experiences we've had, the NPI just does not get to the place where we would like it to be. So, what do you do if you do need to identify your providers in a more robust or informed way? We use a two-step approach to this. We rely on our vendor to do much of the heavy lifting on the front end of creating the unique identifiers for the practitioners. But the reality is, even after all that work that they do, and it's considerable, there is still more provider IDs than can possibly exist in our state. What your state looks like, I can't speak to that. I know that our data looks very different from on different years depending on what degree or where we are at in the process with enhancing data identification. Over time, through data use and use of these the methodologies I'm going to talk to you really briefly about today, that the provider identification has gotten better and better and better. But don't be surprised if when you first take a look at your data, you might have 100 times as many physicians uniquely identified in your state than actually exist. And that's just the nature of the data when you start concatenating multiple pieces of data together to form a unique identification string. And just one or two of those differs, you get a different ID. So I'm going to really briefly go through a couple of these steps because I only have 10 minutes and I can't summarize what was probably 9 months of work in 10 minutes adequately. So we'll just really go through these at a very high level. There's more detail in the slides than I'll have a chance to speak about, but if you download a copy of the slides from the website after the conference, I'm sure there'll be additional information there, and I'm perfectly happy to have an offline conversation about this if necessary. So the step, like I said, step one is something we rely on our vendor to do. What is really going on here? Well, if you think about this, in some ways, this is like the world's largest game of Where's Waldo. You have all of this information about a particular provider, and you're trying to identify one person that may have 100 different variations on his or her identification information. So you're trying to peer through all of this and find that source of data that is the doc. And we rely on our vendor to go through all the permutations and combinations that come in from the payers and weed through and establish our one Waldo. And all the unique combinations that are available for that one person end up being one Waldo. So I think I just actually stole all my thunder for this next slide when I described that. But these are the data elements. Whoops, sorry about that. These are the data elements that are available for us to work with. And I'm sure these are very similar to the data elements that you have in your data. That you're putting together different information about the providers. It might come in on different fields in your data set. And then you're trying to link many of these things together. together. And this is what the vendor does for us and establishes a unique ID based on the various combinations of this type of information. That unique ID allows records from one individual to be assigned back to that one individual regardless of the source. But again, the key to this is all the pieces of information have to be identical. Dr. John Smith and Dr. J. Smith might be the same person, but because of the middle name variation, this creates a new version of who that person is. So it's very important that the vendor go through a continuous mapping and of existing and or of new data and existing data to refine in those established IDs. And it's necessary to develop both manual and automated procedures to actually enable this work to take place with somewhat of a seamless effort. There's a lot of work involved in this. There's no question about that. And to some extent, the vendors will develop these tools and these skills over time through their experience, and they learn on the fly just like we all do. So. Like I was saying, Dr. John Smith and Dr. John M. Smith end up potentially being the same person, but they're identified with two unique IDs. So the next step is to refine the data as it comes in from the vendor. Like I said, don't be surprised if you see anywhere from 10 times as many to 100 times as many providers in your APCD than actually exist in your state. I think when we first took a look at this, the numbers indicated Minnesota, which is a population of about 5 million people, had about 2.5 million physicians. And in talking with other states who have experienced the same kind of thing, that's absolutely kind of a common trend. So it's a matter of figuring out where do you go from here? What is the believable number? What starts to make sense? So you have to invest in all of that, those additional steps that are necessary to further link and refine your provider identification. In a way, you can think of this as Where's Waldo 2.0. I mean, we found the individual Waldos, but now how do you start putting Waldo 1 and Waldo 1.1 into the same bucket? So this is now the problem. But it's not finding one Waldo, it's you've got 100 Waldos that look exactly the same, and how do you get from 100 Waldos that are the same person back down to your one Waldo? And this is where the work that we do comes into play, and where we kind of take over the process from the vendor. So it's about now bringing the pieces together. And what the purpose here is to take multiple pieces of data using some probabilistic and clustering techniques that we've developed through some methodological developmental processes that myself and a couple of IT folks and some other staff members have developed over time, and also kind of in consultation with our vendor to work through a way that we can identify where the same 40 different Waldos. How do you do this? Well, somebody asked me this at lunch, and my first response to them was, you have to bring other sources of data to the question here. You can't do this just by taking a guess. The challenge is there's no gold standard in any of this. In Minnesota, we're fortunate enough to have something that we refer to as our provider registry database. This is something we collect as part of a quality reporting called the Internet Wayback Machine. If you need to be able to do provider linkage that is historical in nature and these websites have changed, you can go to the Internet Wayback Machine and actually look at screen captures of websites from 3, 4, 5 years ago that will help you look and see what provider rosters were or provider directories at particular practice locations. Again, this is where I'll kind of jump through fairly quickly because I think I'm probably coming up against my time fairly soon. But what's involved here is to bring a lot of different pieces of data information together, none of which are perfect. clean as many of them as you can so that you can get them as reliable and robust as possible, and use the information that's contained in each of these in kind of a triangulation fashion to help inform your process. So the first thing we're doing is we're looking at that state provider registry up in the top left corner, and we know that's not a perfect document. You know, we end up with peculiar things about that registry as well. For example, some of our provider organizations who register in the portal provide information about their staff. They may have 8 clinics and they put all 40 of their staff in one clinic and leave the other 7 with no staff. If you want to be able to actually put staff in their practice locations, you've got to figure those kinds of things out. So we use a variety of different pieces of information to help with challenges like that, to get that state provider registry cleaned up. And this is how we do that. We take a look at various pieces of information, bring them together, and make the provider registry as fully usable of a data source as we possibly can. And again, just in case you're interested in knowing about what that Internet Wayback Machine was, that's the website down there, the archive.org/web. Great summer intern research project, by the way. Once you get all that information cleaned up and you have your provider registry looking good, now you've established more reliable links between the NPES registry and your licensing data. You've got kind of your informational sources kind of working well together. Then the next thing is to develop a set of business rules by which you're going to actually take that data and combine it with your APC data and actually develop clusters of provider information that kind of hang well together.